We're so thankful to be here. Appreciate your prayers on our behalf for the safe travel. It's about 23 hours, about 1,300 or so miles. My son began to drive recently, so we're thankful that he was able to help with the driving. It was a beautiful drive after we went through some rain, beautiful weather. God has blessed us with another day of life, with the opportunity to serve him. Thank you so much for the confidence in me to preach the truth of the gospel. I appreciate it for quite many years. We remember with fondness the time about 10 years ago that we were here in the spring, and some of you are still here. We're thankful that you are here and being a light in this dark world of sin, and in not only supporting me but many other gospel preachers throughout the years. Don't ever take that for granted, the support, not only the work in this area but in many other places, and you're doing the Lord's work, and we appreciate it, as well as so many others do, that we want to be united and love one another and stand for the words of truth. And so we hope and pray that you'll be back for each and every one of the services the rest of the week. And I appreciate the fact that you have a website. We have a website also. My son Andrew maintains the website to put on the sermons on audio on the internet, along with the PowerPoint lessons and the bulletin articles, and trying to spread. It's so great that we have the ways and means to communicate the gospel throughout the world. And so, and I see that you have a website, and appreciate the good things that you're doing with that. So without further ado, as we think about the lessons for the week in preparation for this lesson, the theme is talking about places. When you think about it, if you're like most people, you like to have most things close to you. You want it close to you. From a young age, we save places like you go to the lunchroom. I'm going to save a place at the ball game. You want to make space for your friends. When you go to a crowded event, often you'll find several seats. Oh, these seats are saved. They're special. You can't sit here. You think about it, fancy parties and wedding receptions. People spend lots of time to get the right people sitting together and to save that place. And they'll have engraved little cards to tell you exactly where you're supposed to sit. And the Bible mentions something about that kind of idea of giving someone places in your lives, but you don't want to see this one. You don't want to see a reservation for the devil, would you? No, we don't want to see that. We're talking about the Bible, what the Bible says about this. In Ephesians 4, 26 and 27, it says, "Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down in your wrath, nor give place to the devil." I didn't know how well that's going to turn up there. "Nor give place to the devil." So we don't want to give place to the devil. Think about the world and its depiction of the devil, you know, the pitchfork. Is that the Bible depiction of the devil? What do we see in the Bible? You think about the Bible, book of pictures, where we know these things. God is trying to give us a view of what the devil is like. What is he like? He's like a lion, isn't he? "Be of sober spirit. Be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour." You remember God as he's speaking with Cain here, and he, you know, became angry, didn't accept his sacrifice. Well, why are you angry? Sin is crouching at the door, and its desire is for you. Notice as you think about people say, "Well, you just can't control your anger, that you're born that way." He said, "No, you must master it. You must control it." It's been from the beginning of time. As you think about it, of course, Cain didn't do that, and he went out and he killed his brother. He murdered his brother. How did Jesus overcome every temptation of the devil? How did he do that? He did it with Scripture, didn't he? Matthew 4, verse 4, Jesus said in response to, remember, turn these stones into bread after you fasted for 40 days in the wilderness. He said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." Think about the power of the Word of God. He is hungry and fast. When you think about if you're that hungry after 40 days, and just the mention of food is going to get you salivating for it. and desiring that. And he had the power to immediately do that. But he refused. He said, it is written. You live by every word of God. In Matthew 4, verse 7, in response to the next temptation, Jesus said, on the other hand, it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test. And then in Matthew 4, verse 10, Jesus said to him, go, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God and serve him only. And so when you think about Jesus, he overcame every temptation. Here's the power of Scripture to overcome the devil, to overcome Satan. When we think about, well, that was Jesus. You know, he had all those miracles and, you know, he's sinless. He is deity. So, of course, he's not going to have any. He was tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin, remember. Just think about the avenues and ways. Can we really resist the devil? The devil made me do it, as we would think others say, right? James 4, verses 7 and 8, submit, therefore, to God. The whole thing is, if you don't submit to God, you're not going to be able to resist the devil, are you? He said, submit, therefore, to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Do you believe that? Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Why can Scripture help you? When you think about all the wickedness and perversity around, and, you know, young men think, I can't, there's no way I can be pure in this wicked and perverse generation. How am I going to do it? Isn't it interesting when you think about 3,000 years ago, we have advice that still is true today when you think about Scripture and overcoming sin. How can a young man keep his way pure? By keeping it according to your word. With none is concerning your heart, though. With all my heart I have sought you. Do not let me wander from your commandments. Your word I have treasured in my heart, that I might not sin against you. Your word I have treasured. Here's how you can overcome sin, how you can be pure, even today in Psalm 119, verses 9 through 11. So give no place. Other translations would say give no opportunity in those places. If you think about, you know, the setting, you know, I was thinking about what I said this morning, you know, I'll set a place for you, and you often use that description. When you think about setting places at a table, you fill all the areas of your life in this way. With Christ-like things, there isn't going to be any place left for the devil, is there? No, there won't be. And 2 Peter 1, verses 5 through 7, because of God's precious and magnificent promises, 2 Peter 1, verses 3 through 4 there. He said, for this very reason, because of God's great and precious promises, applying all diligence. And I think as you look at this, here's going to be the key. We live in a lackadaisical society where anything goes, and not many people are diligent. When you look at the Bible, what it says, we have to be diligent about these things. In your diligence, in your faith, apply moral excellence. And your moral excellence, knowledge. And your knowledge, self-control. And your self-control, perseverance. And your perseverance, godliness. And in godliness, brotherly kindness. And brotherly kindness, love. 2 Peter 1, verses 5 through 7. This is what we need to fill our life with, these things. Well, how will that help? We got to practice. When you think about concerning fundamentals and sports, you got to practice, practice, practice. It's not just like you're going to show up in the big game and, hey, I'm just going to perform. You've got to practice those principles over and over and over and over again. Again, the key is going to be diligence. He said, as long as you practice these things, what's going to happen? He said, you will never stumble. Do we believe that? And so here, we're going to talk about areas where you can refuse to give him a place. As you think about concerning your lives, all the ways surrounding, and of course, God has created us in his image. He knows us better than we know ourselves. In these areas, concerning what you see, God has given us eyes to see. Obviously, there are some that are blind, that they don't have that blessing and benefit. I think all of us here are likely can see, and that's a great blessing of God. But we need to realize, what are we looking at? What are you looking at? Your eyes are the window to your soul. And Matthew 6, verse 22 says, the eye is a lamp of the body. So then if your eye is clear, your whole body will be full of light. When you think about, be careful, little eyes, what you see, you think about the children's song. We need to think about it in the realm from adulthood, or if you're a teenager. Be careful with your eyes, what you see. What are you looking at? That'll determine concerning where you're going to go. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18 there, Apostle Paul wrote to the brethren there. He said, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened so that you will know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the surpassing greatness of his power toward us who believe. These are in accordance with the working of the strength of his might. He goes on to talk about the resurrection. The Apostle Paul's prayer for them. Notice, you think about you looking at the creation of God. Again, I think about this long drive and the mountains and where we're at. We don't have mountains. We do have some hills. But it's beautiful in the sunny day. Yes, it's so clear. And you look at the beauty of creation, the sun, moon, and stars, sunrise and the sunset, and the mountains, the trees. And what do you see? You see God's power, don't you? You think about the power of the Word of God. Romans 1, verse 20. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, his eternal power, divine nature, have been clearly seen, being understood through what is made, so that men are without excuse. There is no excuse for not believing in God. As you think about the theory of evolution, it is foolishness. Remember the wrath of God, he said a couple verses earlier, against all ungodliness of righteous men who suppress the truth and their unrighteousness. There is no excuse. We should look at the creation and see God's power. What should we look for? We should look for a city whose architect is God. In Hebrews 11, verse 10, Abraham, what was he looking for? Well, you say he was a rich person, but his focus wasn't here. He was looking for the city which has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. That's what he was looking for. We should look to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. That's who we should look to. He lived his life. He finished the race. And you think about the journey. You talk about Hebrews 12 and verse 1. It's a long journey. It's like a marathon. If you've been a Christian very long, you've gone through very likely difficult circumstances in your life. What are you going to look to overcoming the devil? We need to look to Jesus because he finished. We want to look to those who have excelled in whatever area. You think about any endeavor. Hey, who has been successful in this certain area? I want to follow and I want to imitate him. Well, Jesus, the most important thing in this life and for all of eternity, he finished the race. He endured the cross. And he rose from the dead on the third day. And so to give no place to the devil, there are things we must not look at. You think about concerning what Jesus said in Matthew 5, verses 27 and 28. Matthew 5, verses 27 and 28. We just have a few scriptures to look at. Most will be on the screen. Jesus said, you have heard that it was said, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. Are you going to hear that on the news? You're not going to hear that, are you? No. Are you going to hear it from the politicians? No, you're not going to hear that. I don't remember if you remember Jimmy Carter 30 years ago talked about lust in his heart and his poll numbers went down. That's not happening anymore. When you think about concerning lusting in your heart, committed adultery, we must not look at a woman to lust for her. And you think about concerning pornography being rampant on the internet and just all the immodesty everywhere. It's very difficult for men, and sometimes women don't understand how difficult it is for young men to be pure, the ones who want to be godly, the few who want to be godly, how difficult it is. But we need to learn this lesson. I can't lust after a woman. Jesus knows it here and gives the warning about this. We realize concerning the Old Testament, hey, committing adultery was death. It was stoning by death. Jesus talks about it very seriously and soberly as you think about concerning the heart and what you're looking at. Don't look at a woman to lust for her in your heart. As you think about concerning movies, internet, it was just so sad as I think about we're in an area where we don't have local TV. There's one station about 40 miles away. And I think about having the cable. And again, I'm not saying it's not wrong to have a cable and things like that, but we just noticed concerning, hey, it might be a decent program, but you know what? The commercials are just so bad. And I thought about the children, talk about more about the children the next hour, but I thought about, you got to cover our eyes because of even just the immodesty on the commercials. And so here God has given us 1 Corinthians chapter 7. And it's 1 Corinthians 7, verse 1 and 2. The Apostle Paul writing to the brethren there, he said, concerning the things about which you wrote, it is good for a man not to touch a woman, but because of immoralities, each man is to have his own wife, and each woman is to have her own husband. As you think about it, concerning this, is that God has given a means by we can fulfill those desires in marriage relationship. When do we have a right scripturally to marry? Think about so many just fantasize and think about those in the movies or pornography and they think, and it'll consume your life. Don't look for a woman to lust after her. Others, you think about the old commercials. I don't remember a long time ago, where in the commercials they would show the wine pouring in the glass, going around the glass, and the enticement of that. Now think of this passage in Proverbs 23, verse 31. Again, 3,000 years ago, Solomon, writing by inspiration, can write from personal experience too, as he drank. Remember, he drank alcohol too. And what did he say? As you think about even social drinking that is rampant today, or try to be justified even among members of the church of Christ in some ways, he said, don't even look on the wine when it is red. Don't even look at it. Now the whole thing is, you're not even supposed to look at it. You're not going to be tempted to drink it, are you? But see, some would say, well, you know, it's just in my genes. I've got to have that alcohol. Wait a minute. You know, we're leaving out God's word, aren't we? Leaving out what God has spoken about this? Don't even look on the wine when it is red, Solomon said by inspiration. Think about concerning alcohol, yeah, for medicinal purposes. Now, see, you think about the medicinal purposes, and we talk about concerning marijuana coming to the scene, and I realize that, yes, in a few circumstances, you know, maybe, and leave that up to the doctors for medicinal purposes, but we shouldn't be surprised that now we get into the recreational area to whereby this is starting to sweep the country, starting in California, starting in the West, and for medicinal purposes. Now, we talk about concerning alcohol drink. What do we see in the New Testament, Ephesians chapter 5? In Ephesians chapter 5, notice the Apostle Paul said in Ephesians 5, verse 18, do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. Now, I realize as you look upon, you know, religions today, Pentecostals, direct operation of the Holy Spirit in a person's heart, we're not afraid about talking about being filled with the Holy Spirit, are we? Because what has the Spirit done? As you think about it, certainly the Word of God, the Spirit sword is the Word of God. Here's the instrument and here's the influence of the filling of the Spirit, filling of the Word of God into our lives as what we're thinking about influence. But drinking for pleasure, don't do it because it can destroy your life. As you think about a devil trying to start out young, you think about those youthful lusts. And young people, I realize you think that you know a lot about life. Talk more about it next, about parents, starting listening to your parents because of these influences. It can have a lifetime impact upon you and upon your soul for many, many years. So be filled with the Spirit. You remember concerning Lot and Abraham, what a great attitude and mindset that he had. Like you said, he, as they had too many flocks, he said, you can go to the right or to the left. You know, Abraham had a choice. He said, well, Lot, I'll leave it to you. And what did he see? Well, he saw the plains of the Jordan. It was well-watered everywhere. But where was it at? It was Sodom and Gomorrah, wasn't it? You think about discerning. Isn't it interesting? You think about how, I'm not disparaging San Francisco because I used to live near there back in the 60s. My dad was stationed in Oakland. It's a beautiful area in San Francisco, and yet there's a lot of homosexuals there in a beautiful city. Oh, a beautiful place to live. But what about your family? The plains of Jordan and looking at the plains of Jordan. Now, Lot was a righteous man, but he made a bad choice for him and his family. Well, think about concerning what we're looking at as far as things. And I want things. The excessive desire for material things. I realize, yeah, things, but an excessive desire for those material things. I've got to have the latest car. I've got to have the latest computer. I've got to have the latest game. The iPad, another iPad just came out. iPad 3, and I guess they're calling it the iPad now. There's a whole thing. So these desire for material things are always before us. What are we looking at? Colossians 3, verse 1, you remember what that says? Set your mind on things above, not on things in the earth. We'll talk about a little bit about that more also in the next. Also, areas where you can refuse to give him a place, and what you hear. What are you listening to? What are you listening to? Jesus said in Matthew 11, verse 15, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Now, is he just talking about audibly? No, he's not talking about audibly, concerning how you hear. What are you hearing? What are you listening to? Romans 10, verse 17, what is the only way they're going to get faith? Well, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Your American Standard says, hearing by the word of Christ. It's Christos in the New Testament. So whether it's God or Christ there, we want to have that faith by hearing the word of Christ, our Savior and our Lord. That's what we want to be listening to. Back in the Old Testament, in Deuteronomy 12, verse 28, call it Moses' death address to the Israelites. The fathers have died in the wilderness, and those children saw that. And he told them, be careful to listen to all these words I command you, so that it may be well with you. See, God cares for our good. So many people think about God is trying to restrict me from having fun. He doesn't want me to have fun. No, he wants it to be well with you. He wanted it to be well with the Israelites there. He said, well with you and your sons after you forever, for you will be doing what is good and right in the sight of the Lord your God. In Proverbs chapter 1, verse 8, remember, we talked about the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. So it begins with the fear of the Lord. But notice as you think about discerning how important parents are, hear, my son, your father's instructions. Do not forsake your mother's teaching. Again, as you think about, be careful with your ears what you hear. There are things we must not listen to. The lies of the devil. Are you listening to the lies of the devil? Would you realize that as you think about given a place at the table, has he got your ear? Remember from the beginning of time here in Genesis 3, verse 4 and 5. You can eat of any tree in the garden, just the one tree. What does Satan always want to get you focused on? The devil, the thing that God forbids. All these things you can eat of anyone, except the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And so, remember, Eve understood the command. Repeated, and she added, she did add, touch it, lest you die. But she understood. And the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die. That was a flat-out lie, wasn't it? It was a lie from the beginning of time. And he says, for God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be open, and you know what? You will be like God, knowing good and evil. Don't want people to be in the place of God. I can do whatever I want, whenever I want it. And that sounds good to me. And of course, we know she gave in and she ate the forbidden fruit. In John 8, verse 44 and 45, as Jesus is talking to the Jews about the devil, what did he say? He said, he is a liar and the father of lies. But you know what? Because I speak the truth, you do not believe me. Isn't that true? As you think about the difference between truth and lies, a lot easier to listen to lies than listen to the truth. Because I've got to make the application to my lie. I think about the lies of the devil. Why? What is the way he's going to spread lies? Well, the way he's going to spread lies is false teachers, those who, you know, get up a suit and let many individuals, honest and sincere, maybe very bold, very, very eloquent in their speech, and they're quoting from the scriptures, they're quoting maybe even a lot of scriptures, maybe even telling jokes and interesting stories and that sort of thing. But here, I want you to think about in 2 Corinthians 11, verse 13 through 15 here, the Apostle Paul writes to the Corinthian brethren. I want you to notice in this context here, the disguising. The Apostle Paul talks about men, false apostles, deceitful workers. Notice it, disguising themselves as apostles of Christ. No wonder, for even Satan disguises himself. How? An angel of light. Therefore, it is not surprising, shouldn't be surprising, if his servants also disguise themselves. How? As servants of righteousness, whose end will be according to their deeds. Now, you see, look at that. Satan disguising himself, his servants, they appear to be righteous. They appear to be good. They appear to be honest and sincere. But as you notice, concerning what are they? He said, such men are false apostles. You've got to be beware. If you don't know the Word of God, you're going to be deceived by the lies of the devil. The Apostle Paul writing to brethren here, as you think about concerning all the false teachers out there in the world, well, we need to recognize concerning here the warning to Christians here. He said false prophets also arose among the people, just as there will be false teachers where? Among you, who will secretly introduce destructive heresy. Sometimes people say concerning, well, you know, they don't preach it. See, they don't preach it publicly. What do they do privately? That's where the devil can really work. That's why we got to be very careful. And I'm thankful to be very careful concerning who you support in the preaching of the gospel, that they're going to preach the truth and only the truth of the Word of God. Don't want to support false teachers. We're going to talk a lot about this week in some of these false teachers who spread lies, not all be specific here, concerning Calvinism. And again, part of that specific on that. Maybe you haven't heard of the 80-70 doctrine concerning downloading the documents. The Most High on our website is about the 70-80 doctrine. People have downloaded that sermon and said, well, what is that all about? Well, Lord willing, on Tuesday night we'll find out about that. But false teachers who spread lies, they spread lies about the church. Think, well, the church isn't important. And the problem of divorce in our society, which leads to much discouragement, and the devil wants us to be discouraged. We're going to talk about overcoming discouragement on Friday night. So think about concerning the theme of this lesson and giving no place to the devil. We're going to be talking about these things. Also, there are things we must not listen to, worldly talk. 2 Timothy 2, verses 16 and 17. Avoid worldly and empty chatter, because what happens? He said it will lead to further ungodliness. And their talk will spread like gangrene. I think the old kings would say, like a canker. You think about concerning cancer and it's spreading. It is terrible, isn't it? But here, as you think about certain worldly talk and how fast it spreads, all you have to do is you think about being in a high school atmosphere. How fast does gossip spread around? A lot faster than the truth, isn't it? Oh, the truth isn't spread around, but the gossip is spread around, isn't it? In Proverbs 1, verse 10, remember he just talked about parents, Proverbs 1, verses 8 and 9 there, and now sinners come into the picture. They're going to be enticing you. How are you going to deal with it? When sinners entice you, do not consent. Remember I don't know if you remember a slogan, maybe for those who are older would remember 20, 25 years ago, just say no to drugs, do not consent. Say no to worldly talk. Don't give in to it. Don't listen when they make promises. Well, you know, we live in a society where unemployment's high and the temptation is going to be more concerning. I can't get a job. And so, hey, you know, this person's selling drugs. I mean, we even in the small town of Brenham, we're about 16,000. And my wife substitutes some at the high school. And here we have lots of problems with drugs in our little community. And you think about it certainly through sports. But when sinners entice you, do not consent. In 1 Corinthians 15, verse 33, who are your friends? Because bad company corrupts good morals. But just this one time, it's not that big of a deal. Bad company corrupts good morals. You believe that? We have experienced that as we think about those of us who are older. Maybe we remember during the time giving in to those temptations and hanging around the bad company. And so we shouldn't be surprised that worldly talk is going to be a problem in our life. Ecclesiastes 7, verse 5, it is better to listen to the rebuke of a wise man than for one to listen to the song of fools. That's difficult sometimes, but listen to the rebuke of your elders. gospel preacher, parents, grandparents. They're a blessing. They'll be a blessing to you. Think about concerning worldly talk, whether it's gossip or profanity or filthy jokes at work or school, recreation, whatever you might be doing concerning your life, even concerning the music that you listen to. Also, areas where you refuse to give them a place is what you think. What are you thinking about in your life? What do you dream about? What are you reading in your life? As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. And so what you read and think will affect who you are. Now, see, you may not realize that or think about that. That's just the way it is. That's reality in your life. Be careful. Be careful with your mind what you think. What are you thinking about? The Apostle Paul said, finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there's any excellence or if anything worthy of praise, let your mind dwell on these things. And you start thinking about that. When we think about negative things all the time, that's going to have an influence and impact on the rest of our lives. In Colossians 3, verse 1, we alluded to it earlier, and then going into verse 2, if you've been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Set your mind on things above, not on the things on the earth. 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 21 and 22, examine everything carefully. Hold fast to that which is good. Abstain from every form of evil. Well, what are the things that consume our thoughts? There are many passages. Again, sometimes it is difficult to just, I wish I could go into so much more detail. We just don't have time for all that in this lesson this morning. But riches and worries and the desire for other things. In this one passage, Mark 4, verses 18 and 19, as you think about in the parable of the sower, and Jesus in his application says on that, others are a seed that was sown among the thorns. These are the ones who have heard the word. Here's the problem. But the worries of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desires for other things. You're not going to see that in Matthew and Luke's accounts, but as you think about it, certainly anything other desires other than the word of God could be included in that. You think about, all these different things that we have today. The desire for other things. What happens? It says it enters in and chokes the word. You ever been choking, desiring the next breath? And you feel how terrible, terrible that is. Again, the Bible's trying to give us a picture concerning what this does to our life. When we're so worried and we're so troubled and anxious, maybe concerning our job, maybe concerning our spouse or our family, whatever it might be, taking care of parents or grandparents, whatever it might be, these choke out the word, the worries. Do we have to be anxious? The Apostle Paul said, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. So you're going to continue to worry about that? You know, sometimes we might catch ourselves, why haven't I prayed about this? If I pray, I won't be anxious, and then I can have the peace that passes all understanding, which will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. In the next verse, and isn't it interesting? In the next verse after that, talks about the things that are pure and lovely, a good report. Verse 76, verses 9 through 11, those who want to get rich, people think about riches, and again, I'll confess, before I became a Christian, and we had problems in the church that I was raised up when there was division in the church, there was problems, and there's no excuse concerning not still serving God when there are problems, but the whole thing is the desire for other things, and riches was one thing in the 20s, which I would go after the get-rich-quick schemes, and think of that. Thankfully, that didn't work out, and I was allowed to suffer the consequences, but suffering the consequences of sin helped me have time and opportunity to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth and obey the gospel many years later in 1989 when I was 28 years old. But those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a snare and many foolish and harmful desires which plunge men into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is the root of, notice it, it's the root of all sorts of evil, and some by longing for it have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. But you flee from these things. You man of God, to pursue righteousness instead. Where else can you refuse to give him a place? And what you say, be careful with your mouth what you say. In 1 Peter 4, verse 11, if any man speaks, How is he to speak? Let him speak as the oracles of God. Proverbs 15, verse 28, the heart of the righteous ponders how to answer. How do the wicked? They don't really care. They just let it out. What they're thinking, they just let it out. The mouth of the wicked pours out evil things. In James 1, verses 19 through 20, thinking about concerning when we're angry, we don't often think about how we're saying things or how it's coming out. We're told everyone must be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. Did you realize concerning as you look upon anger, it's not always wrong to be angry. You think about concerning sin and wickedness and dealing with that. If you're not angry about sin, there's going to be some problems because, hey, I'm going to just tolerate any kind of sin. Well, you know, I'm not supposed to be angry. No, he said, notice it, slow to wrath or slow to anger. He said the wrath of God does not produce the righteousness of God. What about your speech? Colossians 4, verse 6, he said, let your speech always be with grace as a seasoned with salt so that you should know how you should respond to each person. Going back to our original verses in Ephesians 4, 26 and 27. Notice a connection and giving place to the devil in the specific context. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down in your wrath, nor give place to the devil. We hold on to that anger and we don't deal with it. We're not praying about it. We're not resolving the problems, resolving the issue. It's only going to get worse. I can see that being experienced as you nod your head on that. That's the truth, isn't it? Don't let the sun go down on your wrath. It's going to hurt others if you keep that anger in. It's going to come out. The same things we are not to listen to, we shouldn't say or repeat. With lies, gossip, amen, profanity, don't do it. That'll be hurtful. You think about angry words, or let them never from the tongue unbridled slip. Don't let it slip. Oh, I shouldn't have said it. Well, the whole thing is, yes, you can get forgiveness for that, but that child may not ever forget what you said, may not be so forgiving. Ephesians 4:29, let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification, according to the need of the moment, so that it will give grace to those who hear. Another area where you must refuse to give him a place is what you do. What are you doing and where are you going? Joshua had an important mission. Can you imagine? You're going to be charged with going into the promised land, and you know what? Moses and the rest of the children of Israel, they weren't going in. The fathers, they died in the wilderness. What a tremendous charge. How is it going to be successful? In Joshua 1, verse 8, he said, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night so that you may be what? Careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous and you will have success. In Colossians 3, verse 17, as you think about your life, whatever you do in word or deed, do what? Do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. Philippians 4, verse 9, the things you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. As you think about, they have it set up that way. Practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. 1 John 3, verses 7 and 8 here. The Apostle John said, little children, make sure no one deceives you. Many people are deceiving. The devil is working, isn't he? The one who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he is righteous. The one who practices sin is of the devil. For the devil has sinned from the beginning. Why did the Son of God come? He came to destroy the works of the devil. Don't let anybody deceive you. Think, well, I can sin and it'll be all right. No, you practice sin. He said, you're of the devil. Wow, that's strong language. That's what the Bible says. Practice righteousness. You are righteous. Also, we think about concerning things we must not do here in Ephesians 2. When he said here, I don't know what happened here on the, I had it set up different. You are dead in your trespasses and sins, which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, according to the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. Among them, we too all lived formerly in the lust of our flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind, or by nature, children of wrath, even as the rest. We'll get to the end of that. I had it individually. And as we think about concerning this life, I want you to get to the end of this and notice concerning the way they lived their lives before. You formerly walked this way, is now working, formerly lived, indulging by nature. And this word for nature, people will try to say that you were born that way. See, don't you see that word by nature? This is the way that you are living. That's the way you are living. A long period of practice or habit, not something that you were born with. And what are they doing? You think about concerning they're dead in their sins. What are they? Course of this world. They're worldly. The prince of the power of the air. That is the devil. He was working now. When you see him working, when you're reading the paper, murders and all these wicked things, that's the devil's working through them, the sons of disobedience. This is the way that you used to live, certainly indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind. This is what you have done in the past. But God, being rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, made us alive together with Christ. These are the things that we must not do as you think about concerning our life in sin and in practice here. We will reap what we sow. Galatians 6, verses 7 and 8. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, this he will also reap. The one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption, but the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap everlasting life. What we see and hear will affect what we think, won't it? That's the way God made us. What we think will affect what we say and do. What are we doing in our life? We're lusting after what we see in this world. We're listening to the lies of the devil. What will happen? We will be deceived in what we believe. You see that concerning the thinking pattern here. We will likely repeat the lies of the devil concerning what we're saying and practice sin. This is what we're doing. Practice sin, which will condemn our souls. Think about it in 2 Thessalonians 2, verses 9 through 12. He talks about the activity of Satan with all power and signs and false wonders and with all the deception of wickedness for those who perish. Why? Because they did not receive the love of the truth so as to be saved. For this reason, God will send upon them a deluding influence that they might do what? Believe what is false, in order that all may be judged who did not believe the truth, but took pleasure in what? In wickedness. This is how the devil works, deceiving people. Maybe those who even think that they're honest and sincere. The truth, you make a choice as to whether you're going to receive the love of the truth. Do you love the truth? If you don't love the truth, you're going to be deceived by the devil and desire to take pleasure in wickedness. And then what will be the end? Judged. And they will perish as a result. This is how the devil works. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ so that each one may be recompensed for the deeds done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. We must be like Christ and give him first place in our lives. Don't give any place to the devil. Thank you for listening and looking forward to the rest of the week together. Thank you.